We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Welcome in, episode 87 of Hogan Johns. This is a tough one. Do we go Tom Waddle or Ed Obradovich?
Ooh.
I mean, I think legally we have to go with OB since he works for WGN Radio.
Yeah, yeah.
And Tom
it's probably
Waddle.
Safe to be. Keep the lawyers happy.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think the lawyers really care, but I'm still going to call it legally. This is episode 87. This is our quarterbacks episode as we get closer and closer to the NFL draft, just about a week away in Philadelphia. This is our episode that we are devoting strictly to the quarterbacks in this draft, and the timing could not be better because all of a sudden in the last 48 hours, maybe 72 hours, this talk of the Bears drafting a quarterback at number 3 has begun.
It's kind of taken on a life of its own. I tweeted this the other day. Look, I'm not sure what to make of all of it at this point. This is lying season. But let me just lay it out this way. I shared this on Twitter. I've heard them say, I've read things that the Bears love Deshaun Watson. I've read things that the Bears love Mitchell Trubisky. I've read things that the Bears are set on taking one of the top defensive backs at number 3. I read that the Bears want to trade up. I read that the Bears want to trade back. So there is so much chatter and lying, whatever you want to call it out there right now. Let's try to trudge through it all here, Adam, and make sense of this.
Yeah. As you can tell, we are not in the same place today, but we'll still get you the information that we always do on Hogan Johns. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNRadio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. I know sort of a side story to all the NFL draft stuff, the Bears have actually begun their offseason program this week at House Hall. So I put up 10 storylines to keep an eye on. If you want something other than the NFL draft, you can find that on WGNRadio.com. I know, Adam, you're working on a ton of draft stuff, which is partially why we're not in the same place today, because yeah. I know you're extremely busy trying to put things together. And you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes by searching Hogan Johns. You can find it on TuneIn and other apps like the WGN Radio app and however else you listen to your podcast. Download it, subscribe, rate, review it. We appreciate you doing that. So let's lay out this cornerback talk. It's very interesting. First of all, a few days ago, Greg Gabriel, who's the Bears' former director of college scouting, wrote a very informed, at least informed opinion piece is the way I'd put it. I mean, because Greg Gabriel's still very much connected. And his conclusion was that he thinks the Bears are going to take a quarterback at number 3. So that was kind of what started all this, at least the chatter. Then there was a tweet yesterday from Dane Brugler, who covers the NFL draft for NFL Draft Scout and CBS Sports. And he was asked a question on Twitter, do you think the Bears go with a QB at number 3? His response, this is again on Twitter, I'll put it this way. There are several teams, one in the NFC North, who are expecting the Bears to take a QB at number 3. John Moon Mullen, CSNChicago.com, respected colleague that we see every day at House Hall when we're there, writes a piece in the last 24 hours saying that he not only expects the Bears to take a quarterback, he expects it to be Deshaun Watson, and he even brought up the possibility of trading up. Remember, the Bears hold the number 3 pick. To trade up, they would have to go to number 1 or number 2. If they're going to number 1, they better be taking Myles Garrett. If they're trading up to number 2, it's because they think someone's going to leapfrog them for Deshaun Watson. That's in the case that Jamu Mullen has made. Then there's a tweet from Matt Miller. These are all, by the way, people I respect in the NFL draft business, in the covering of the Chicago Bears business. at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter. Quote, if you believe the Bears want a QB at number three, I got a bridge in Arizona for you. That's a quote from an NFL executive to Matt Miller today. An unnamed NFL executive, but an NFL executive. And Matt Miller is connected. These are all people I respect. These are all people I pay attention to. These are all people I look at their opinions and believe usually. But there's a lot of different chatter here, Adam, and I don't really know what to make of it.
I read a tweet from an agent today, and he was just saying, it's amazing how many rumors and stuff come out at this time of year. And look, you got the Bears at number three. They clearly need a quarterback, and I get why everybody's kind of connecting the dots with Deshaun Watson. Look at Ryan Pace's comments, whether it was after the season or at the NFL scouting combine, about looking for a quarterback who raises the program. Of course, nobody fits that mold better than Deshaun Watson. The guy beat Alabama in the national title game. The guy is a proven winner. But I don't think the value of the quarterback class is in the top five range at this point. I know the desperation of the position always drives up the value of these guys. And I get it that you have concerns about taking Malik Hooker or Jonathan Allen at number three because they have some red flags as far as previous injuries or future injuries, any of that stuff. But look, Deshaun Watson, you draft him at number three, he's going to have to sit maybe 1 or 2 years before he can understand the NFL system. The guy was a half-running quarterback in college. He ran a lot. He threw a lot of interceptions, so his decision-making is suspect. Yes, he has some of those great intangible qualities, but you know what? Who else was a winner in college? Tim Tebow was a winner in college. He was great with intangibles. Matt Leinart was amazing at USC. He won a lot of games. He raised their program. He didn't really pan out, did he? Ken Dorsey at Miami, he seemed to capitalize on being part of a major program at the right time. So, yes, these intangibles mean something, and yes, they're all part of the evaluations, but you still have guys like Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, guys that are playing in these kind of nuanced, gimmicky offenses at the college level where they have there's going to be time to make a transition to the NFL level.
Yeah, and look, I have a second-round grade on Deshaun Watson. Second round. I'm done with my top 10 quarterbacks. The piece I put out every year, it'll be up next week on WGNRadio.com. The way we're going to do this today is I'm going to give you the rankings for the top four, the four guys that we've talked a lot about. We can talk about some of these other guys as well as we go down the line. But look, my top eight guys, the way I have them ranked, I'm pretty sure right now that all eight of them are going to get drafted higher than where I have them. Which is that's not me where I think they're going to get drafted. It's where I think they should, where I would personally be willing to draft them. Okay, that's the way I do this. All right, and what I'm saying is I think all of them are going to go earlier. And this is, I mean, the idea that Deshaun Watson is a first round, we can debate that. I mean, most people think he probably is worthy of a first round pick. I have a early second round grade on him. If he's there at number 36. That's a fine pick for the Bears, in my opinion. Number three overall is kind of crazy to me for a guy that doesn't have the strongest arm. And arm strength matters. All those guys you kind of talked about there, proven winners, guys who elevated their program, those things matter. But at some point, you still need to be able to make NFL throws. And I look at Watson's arm as merely average. And also, he has a really bad habit of balls getting knocked down at the line of scrimmage. That's where a lot of his interceptions came from. And that is something that, you know, you have to navigate behind the line of scrimmage and get those pass. Guys have a knack for that. You know, I always said about Russell Wilson, everyone knocked his height. And I remember leading up to the draft, I kept telling people, look, yes, he's short, but he has a knack, much like Drew Brees, of getting the ball through windows at the line of scrimmage, not getting balls knocked down. Watson's taller, and yet his passes get knocked down. So I got to put that on him. Now, that's something that could potentially be corrected. And I do think Watson is capable of being an NFL starter. I think he's capable of being a good NFL quarterback. I just don't think he's going to be a great NFL quarterback. I think there's a ceiling there. And we also have to keep in mind that he's going to be making a big jump here to calling plays in the huddle with full field reads, which he didn't always do at Clemson, and he's going to need some adjustment time. Now, for the Bears, that's built in because I think even if they take a quarterback number three overall, Mike Glennon's starting week one. And could,
yeah, I mean, he's the guy you signed for $14.5 million this year.
Right. So I do think it's an okay situation for one of these quarterbacks to come into because none of them, in my opinion, are ready to start right away week one. But I still think that's way too high for any of these quarterbacks, including Watson.
At number three, you're looking at a day one difference maker, a day one starter, perhaps on defense where you know John Fox. Look, I get that John Fox is in his third season here. I get that some people want to push him out the door, but he's still involved in these draft evaluations. I think for sure he's coming back for his fourth season. He's going to influence this pick in some degree. In the past, when you've seen his teams have this high of a pick, he's always gone defense. Julius Peppers, Von Miller. It seems to align that way again this year if the number three pick remains in the Bears' hands. So if I had to buy into any of the, I don't know, what do you want to call the rumors out there? Any reports out there, I think the Bears definitely want to trade back. It's a great year at so many different positions, and to have more picks, especially maybe in the top 75, the Bears would absolutely love it. So, yes, if anybody from around the league, for any team is listening, the Bears' number three pick is for sale. I'm for certain of that. I think even if they trade back in the first round, it's safer for them to take a quarterback. Just at number three, to have – to pass on a guy who could be an all-pro material starter on day one, a guy who could come in and be like a guy like Jamal Adams, immediately upgrades your secondary. A guy like Solomon Thomas, Jonathan Allen, immediately upgrades your defensive front seven. But if you pass on those guys to take a quarterback who's going to need a year or two to develop, it seems... Yeah, I wouldn't do it. I know how important the position is, and your projections are everything, your evaluations are everything, but there are so many unknowns in these projections going from the college game to the NFL game. You have to get the value of what the position is. I get it, but I think when you stack these players, the best value for quarterbacks is in the mid to late round of the first round.
I remember saying on this podcast a couple weeks ago that it would be in the Bears' best interest to make teams think that they're going to take a quarterback. Because it could drive up more interest in trades. I mean, if someone thinks now it could result in a team jumping them to number two to take Watson, but maybe that pushes. I think I brought up the specific scenario or something similar. Let's say the Browns are crazy enough to pass on Myles Garrett, which I don't think is going to happen, but that's been out there from credible sources in the media, okay? Adam Schefter's. Guys like that who don't really do smoke screens. So let's just say that they do that. Well, if the Bears are talked to really want Watson, and there's a team that really wants Watson, would they be willing to jump up to number two to get him? And then all of a sudden, Myles Garrett's at number three. Now, that is like a complete conspiracy theory and probably unlikely, but that's just me illustrating the point that I think it is smart for the Bears to give an illusion that they're willing to take a quarterback. That only helps them to potentially grab maybe an incredible defensive player like Myles Garrett or maybe one of these other quarterbacks that they really do like, or maybe someone's willing to, hey, we hear you want Watson. Well, we're willing to offer you all of this because we want Watson. Instead, you're getting all these extra draft picks. So maybe that's where this is coming from. I don't know. But I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing unless the end result is them actually taking a quarterback there, because which I would have a hard time justifying.
Heck, man. Look at last year. The Rams and the Eagles both traded up into the one and number two spots to draft Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. It happens. It may seem rare, and it may sound crazy, and I get that it could be tough to make moves like that, but teams fall in love with certain players, and you saw last year, wasn't it the Browns who traded out of the first overall pick to give the Rams a chance to select Jared Goff. So this stuff happens.
Yeah.
Teams move up. Teams get desperate. Maybe they buy into certain smoke screens. And we should make certain that all of these executives and scouts that are talking to the media anonymously, we should say, that's just their opinions. That's just what they're gossiping about. That's just what they're hearing. It could be all lies. It could – none of these people, according to – no one has put like a Bears source on it. You get it? It's always somebody else from around the league. This is what they're hearing. And maybe some of it's true. I know the NFL world's a gossipy world, just like the media world's a gossipy world. But, look, that's what it is. It's just gossip at this point. Like last year, you know, when Leonard Floyd at this time of year started getting a bunch of – good pub and stuff like that. He started rising up draft boards. He was the guy that teams started to really, you know, beat their chest about. And then here's the Bears trading up to get him. So a lot of things will change. There's a lot of rumors out there. There's a lot of gossip out there. But I haven't seen one of these anonymous sources be attributed to a Bears source. It's always some other rival executive and stuff like that. And those people – it's best that they're guessing what the Bears are doing.
Well, and they're probably, and it's not necessarily lies. You know, it's probably, like when Dane Brugler comes out and tweets that one NFC North team thinks the Bears are going to take a quarterback. I mean, that's probably true. Like you said, it's an opinion. And one of those teams might think that, but it's based off something the Bears are doing, right? You know, whatever their actions are, and the teams are able to keep track of this way more than we are. Whether it's the visits or the workouts, or because you got to understand when they get in the room with a guy, they can find the other things out. You know, where you've been. You know, what have you know, who you've been talking to. Who do you think's interested in you? The agents. There's way more conversation going on between the network of teams, and a lot of it smoke screens there. So the Bears could be giving off this illusion that they're going to take a quarterback at number. And I'm not saying that they're not. I mean, I don't think they will. I guess if I had to guess right now, and I certainly have made it clear I don't think they should, but I'm not going to rule it out completely. So, but there's also teams that obviously don't think they're going to take a quarterback. That's where Matt Miller's tweet comes from. That some NFL executive told him that, you know, he'll find a bridge for you in Arizona, which, by the way, I can find you a bridge in Arizona. There are bridges there.
Yes, there are. Yes, yeah. There are. I think there's quite a famous one at like Havasu, isn't there?
Yeah. All right. So let's concentrate here. We've talked enough about, like, will the Bears draft one? Let's concentrate on the prospects. Okay. So we discussed Watson. Here's how we'll do this. Okay, I mentioned I'll give you my top four that are in my rankings, and I'll begin by saying that here's a list of guys that I have ranked higher than any of these guys from this year's class, all right, from past years. Derek Carr, who was my number one quarterback in 2014, Marcus Mariota, who was my number one quarterback in 2015, and both Carson Wentz and Jared Goff, my top two quarterbacks from last year. I would put all of them above any of these quarterbacks. And from a pure talent standpoint, I would probably put Jameis Winston, you know, above any of these guys too. I was very hesitant on Winston because of all the off-field stuff, and that still factors into all this stuff. But from a pure talent point, I would rank him above any of these. So that just gives you kind of a perspective of this quarterback class, which I – you know, it runs deep in the sense of there's some quality guys in the middle of the rounds. You know, I don't think it's completely bare, but I don't think it's very top heavy. And I think you have to be careful about taking any of these guys in the top five. There is one guy, and I've hinted at this in the past, that if the Bears were to take a quarterback at number three, there's one guy where, for my own evaluation, I can say, all right, I'm not sure I would have done that, but I can see where the talent is. And if the Bears can justify it from their own evaluation, then I can understand it. And that guy's Mitchell Trubisky from North Carolina. I have a mid to late first round grade on Trubisky. That's my conclusion after watching him. I think he needs to end up on a team that does not need to play him right away. So that's, again, the Bears, because Mike Glennon's going to start the season. He needs time to adjust to taking snaps under center, much like these other quarterbacks, running a pro-style offense, and reading more complex NFL defenses. Because when he went up against defenses like Stanford, he struggled reading safeties, disguises, things like that, and that's where he struggled. But I think he has enough arm talent. He's mobile. He's made some really, really tough throws, and he seems like a smart quarterback that could be driven to succeed. So I see enough traits here to like him as an eventual starter. I just, number three seems high.
You're not at all scared about him being a one-year starter. Primarily, I know there's tape on him before this season.
Yeah.
But he's a one-year guy. You know who else is a one-year guy? Was he a one-year guy at college? He's the Bears' new backup quarterback, Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
Fifth overall to the Jets several years ago. Had some immediate success and then completely tailspinned out of control.
Yeah.
No concerns?
No, I do have concerns. I think it's definitely a concern. And that's probably partly why I'm holding back and you know, not willing to take him to the middle or late first round. Only 13 college starts, and honestly, it shows at times. I think that is probably why when he faced more complex defenses like Stanford, that he struggled to make the proper reads because of that lack of experience. I'd also point out, though, when he came in relief a couple times the two prior years when he was the backup, he came in and threw touchdowns right away. Like legitimate throws,
yes.
Cold off the bench, not working as a starter. So I don't know how you can question the talent. There's definitely enough talent here with Mitchell Trubisky. And the other thing I really like, Adam, when we talk about you know him struggling against some of these defenses and he threw two bad picks against Stanford. There's no question about it. The overall body of work, though, is a 5-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio, which is very good. And overall, he did not turn the ball over much. There's some bad interceptions sprinkled in there. There's one at the end of the game against Duke that was terrible as well. He had a really tough game against Virginia Tech in some really bad weather conditions. The rest of this body of work, though, is very, very impressive. So that's where I ultimately push Trubisky to the top of the list. I think the talent's there. I think the intangibles are there. And I think he's going to need some time to get more experience. And it's not going to be pretty probably early. But with some patience and the right situation, I think he can be pretty good.
I talked to this one NFL evaluator the other day, a guy who I trust specifically for quarterback evaluations, who has had success with quarterbacks in the NFL. And he told me that if he had to pick a quarterback to really – like if he was forced to take a quarterback in the first round, I asked him, who would be your guy? Right away it was Mitchell Trubisky, just in terms of his mechanics, his potential for great mechanics, his decision-making, like you said, and so many other things. Good intangibles, a guy who worked his way up to this point, a guy who was patient and willing to put in the time to get to this place where he's now a potential first-round pick. They liked – all of that, or he liked all that about him. This is a guy I trust. So, yes, if I had to rank him, I know I don't do the rankings like you do, but from what I'm hearing from around the league and things like that, Mitchell Trubisky might be the top quarterback on a lot of teams' draft boards this year.
And quickly on the Bears again, I find it interesting that there's been like no connection there.
There was. I read one about an anonymous scout in somebody's report from, God, it was in Texas, I forget who, saying that this anonymous scout tells him that the Bears are really high on Mitchell Trubisky. I read that like a week ago,
Yeah. Maybe
from like the Houston Chronicle or something. So there is some buzz out there somewhere. He did meet with the Bears at the NFL scouting combine and all that. So there are some, maybe the connections aren't as loud and as prominent as they are with Watson and Patrick Mahomes, but I think they're out there, at least in the NFL gossipy world.
Yeah, if they're really looking at the quarterback, the way the Bears operate, I kind of wonder if the fact that he's not being talked about like Kaiser, Mahomes, and Watson in connection to the Bears, if he might actually be the guy.
I'm telling you, the buzz about Leonard Floyd did not pick up to leak like a few days before the draft.
You mean the buzz with him overall as a prospect or just with the
with
Bears?
With the Bears.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that picked up, you know, him being a top 10 pick and him being a possible target for the Bears. That did not pick up really until about this time, maybe even a few days ahead of now at last year's point. So you never know. Again, people are finalizing their draft boards. The interviews don't end until today. I think this is the last day for teams to interview guys at their facilities and whatnot. So things can change.
I just wonder how much of the Watson hype with the Bears is based off of them rolling up in an Escalade at Pro Day with the entire, you know, regime coming out of that car. It seemed to, as much as we've said, be careful about that, it seems to have carried a lot of weight.
Clemson, for the past few years, has produced a lot of NFL talent. So, you know, everybody is down there. So why not show up in force and get the rumors started?
Yeah. All right. We mentioned Watson. Watson is my second-ranked quarterback. So as much as I think people feel like I've – the thing is like you get caught – Whenever the consensus is a guy should be, you know, really high, and you're kind of trying to talk that down, it always sounds like you're criticizing him, right? I like Watson. He's my number two quarterback. I don't love him. I don't love him enough to take him in the first round. I've been very clear about that, and that's where I got criticized for that at the end of the national championship game when I said that. Because it was an unbelievable performance. I think everyone was just so high on that performance. But nothing's really changed in this pre-draft process. So anyway, I have Watson number two. I kind of gave that reasoning earlier. Number three is Patrick Mahomes, ahead of Deshaun Kizer. I love the Brett Favre comparisons here. I love them because you got to be careful of that. I'm not saying he's going to be Brett Favre. That would be very, 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 very hard to do, to be a future Hall of Famer. But the way they play, the comparisons to me are pretty legit. There was one tape I watched, Adam, where he threw a pass left-handed. Like, he flicked it forward left-handed. You know, like a Brett Favre type deal where he would just, like, kind of start freewheeling on the field. The mechanics are all over the place with Patrick Mahomes. He makes some stupid decisions way too frequently. I hate how he retreats backwards almost from the time he takes the snap, and he always seems like he wants to get out of the pocket as soon as possible because he loves throwing on the move. But he can throw the ball. He has a cannon, and he's a playmaker. That's what he is. He probably has the best arm in this entire draft. So I think that's where these Brett Favre comparisons are pretty legit. But I have no idea. I think he's just a huge boom or bust prospect here. Because can you kind of harness all of that talent and that craziness and make him a legitimate NFL passer? And I don't know. I think that's a huge question. So I love the talent enough to take him in the second round, another second round grade here. But to me, it's too risky to be wagering a first round pick on.
He's also been compared to Jay Cutler, I think, quite a bit for a guy with all the physical gifts. And the big question being whether or not he could put it all together. And we saw that Cutler kind of did that with limited success. And here's what I'm going to say about the comparison. I think comparing him to Jay Cutler for some reason is a negative connotation, but people have to take in terms of what the context is with Cutler's failures. If Jay Cutler had a stable situation, the same offensive coordinator, maybe an offensive coach that gave him a little bit more faith, better receivers. I know it's the old Cutler excuses and things like that. I get it. But so much of the situation will matter to these players like Mahomes and Watson too. Again, I want to say I like him too as well. But so much of the situation will matter to these guys who have some physical gifts, who are coming from some gimmicky one-read offenses where they're in the no-huddle offense or shotgun all the time. So much of the situation will matter to these guys. It needs to be stable. They need coaches who believe in them, coaches who have patience. And they need an ownership that has patience because these guys are going to require time. Jay Cutler required time. Denver didn't give that to him. What's his name from New England? McDaniels came in. He was gone.
Yeah.
He didn't really get that in Chicago. Yes, he came in here as the savior, the franchise quarterback the Bears never had, but they changed so many offensive coordinators. They gave him Devin Hester as a wide receiver. So there are so many things that have to happen around a quarterback to help him be successful. Look at Dak Prescott. Fourth round pick, goes to the Cowboys. Top-notch receiver, Hall of Fame tight end, the best offensive line in the game, a superstar rookie running back, a good offensive mind as a coach, Things just clicked. The situation helped Dak Prescott. The situation will be so key for Deshaun Watson, so key for Patrick Mahomes. Just like the situation should have been so key for Jay Cutler, but things failed for a variety of reasons in two different cities.
All right, I have a different Jay Cutler comp than Mahomes. I think Mahomes is more Favre, but I do have a quarterback in here that I do compare to Jay Cutler, and that's my number four quarterback, and that is Deshaun Kizer from Notre Dame. I don't know how many people have compared him to Jay Cutler, but here's where I'm coming from. The size is similar. The mobility is similar. He's not a guy that's going to necessarily run away from you, but he can be mobile and can make plays on the run. He has a big arm. He's good size, good arm, and I love the toughness. Takes a lot of shots. So that's a lot of Jay Cutler right there, right? There's something missing, though, Adam, when you look at Sean Kizer. There's wins missing. There's excuses. His offensive line was bad in 2016. His wide receivers weren't as good. These are excuses I've made for Kizer, too. These are excuses I've made for Jay Cutler, too. But the excuses only take you so far. And also, I've seen him, if you watched him on Game Changers with Steve Mariucci, or you watched him with John Gruden, he's really good on the whiteboard. He sounds incredibly smart when he's studying the game, when he's talking about the game, when he's drawing up plays. These are all things that Jay Cutler was good at too. He gets on the field, though, and it just doesn't all come together. Right? And there are times where he makes outstanding throws, rare throws that you can't teach, but then there's just times where he's just terrible. I mean, there's one of the games I watched, I think it actually goes back to the 2015 season, which he rightly gets credit for overall. But the bowl game against Ohio State, I watched the first, you know, if you just watch the first half of that game, he's horrendous. There's just not enough consistency here with Deshaun Kizer for me, again, to use a first round pick on him. Why did he get worse in 2016? Why are there so many excuses here with other personnel? And another thing I'll point out about 2015, when he did have a good year, and it kind of goes unnoticed, they weren't a very good red zone team that year. That concerns me too. So I have a late second round grade on Kizer. Again, with all these top four, and really all, I told you earlier, my top eight, these guys are all going to get drafted way higher than I have them. And I understand that Kizer is going to get drafted probably in the first round. I have a late second round grade. There's enough talent here to work with. As much as I don't like Brian Kelly, and we made that very clear a couple weeks ago when we talked about this, when Brian Kelly is saying that you need to, quote, grow in so many areas, not just on the field but off the field, when Brian Kelly's saying that, all the off-the-field issues he's dealt with in Notre Dame with his players, to me that's an enormous red flag. When your head coach comes out publicly and says that before the draft – there's just something missing there with Deshaun Kizer. I can't put my finger on it. Maybe it's just a gut feeling, but I kind of want to stay away from him in the draft.
You know, Brian Kelly got kind of spat upon on social media for sharing his thoughts about Deshaun Kizer publicly. I know he kind of backtracked on them a little bit after the heat that came on him. But look, I'm never going to, as a media member, discourage honesty. That's how Brian Kelly honesty feels, then so be it. Maybe he shouldn't be doing interviews about someone he doesn't really like as a player. So,
yeah, I understood the backlash he got, but I also don't think you can ignore the message of what he said.
Exactly, exactly. And you know what? There's teams that are interviewing Brian Kelly about him anyway, so they already have this information. So now it's public for the rest of us. Maybe it was bad form. Maybe he is kind of discrediting one of his own players, but you know what? This is what coaches do. Isn't there one of the famous stories is Jim Harbaugh offering kind of a critical opinion of Richard Sherman, Richard Sherman kind of throwing that back in his face at the NFL level because Sherman played for Harbaugh at Stanford and things like that. So these things happen. I mean, coaches give their honest assessment, some of these scouts, some of these college directors. There's relationships that date back years between some of these schools and coaches and some of the people in the NFL. So there are honest assessments being shared. In terms of Kizer, I don't like the personnel was bad excuse. This is still Notre Dame. I feel like they've gotten top 10, top 15 recruiting classes every year that Brian Kelly has been there. I know they've gotten some pretty good players out of the Chicago area, guys that have gone pro. So I feel like it's just a bad, poor excuse for a quarterback who needs bad, poor excuses, if you know what I'm saying. Look, I was on John Gruden's conference call today, the former coach, the great ESPN analyst now, and he thinks DeShone Kizer he wouldn't take him in the first round. That's what he said. He would probably take him later than that. His top three quarterbacks are Trubisky, Watson, and Mahomes in no particular order. He does think four quarterbacks go in the first round. That could be Kizer. He loves Nathan Peterman. If there's one takeaway from John Gruden's conference call, is that the guy absolutely adores Nate Peterman out of Pitt. He called him the most NFL-ready quarterback of the group. But again, he could be like a second or third round quarterback when all is said and done. But to get back to Kizer, I don't buy the excuses. Yes, there's a lot of questions about his makeup on and off the field. And I really have no problem with Brian Kelly, with what Brian Kelly said, because again, that's going to be shared in NFL circles already. I mean, Brian Kelly talks to people around the league. Let's be honest.
Yeah. No, he does. All right, so the top four, I gave them to you. Trubisky, Watson, Mahomes, and then Kizer. I'm going to leave the rest of my rankings for when they come out next week on WGNRadio.com, but we can still discuss some of these other quarterbacks. And you mentioned Nathan Peterman, who worked very closely with the Bears at the Senior Bowl. I think there's a potential link there. What I don't like here is how much Peterman's been talked up into the second round, because I don't think he's a second round quarterback. And I think if the Bears are drafting him early in the second round, that's a problem. You want to talk early third? Maybe I can live with that. I have a fourth round grade on Nathan Peterman. I saw him up close at the Pinstripe Bowl when I was there with Northwestern doing sideline. So I was right there on the sideline, got a good look at him. He was pretty good. The offense for Pitt took a huge step back when he suffered a concussion in that game. Peterman got dinged up, didn't come back, and there was a huge difference. That being said, that entire game, I never once thought in my head, oh, that guy looks like an NFL starter. In fact, when I kind of turned around and started doing Senior Bowl prep, and I knew he was going to the Senior Bowl, but you know, start talking to people, and they're saying about how much he's a huge NFL prospect, I was going, really? Because that kind of caught me off guard. And my opinion didn't really change much at the Senior Bowl. He's an accurate quarterback. He's a smart quarterback. He's a pretty good decision maker. But the arm strength is very limited here. He can't really drive the ball. And I think a lot of these windows that you see him throw through in college when he was at Pitt are going to be closed at the NFL level. Everyone's faster. And if you can't throw the ball hard enough and get enough velocity to get through those windows, they're going to be interceptions, or at least going to be knocked down. So that's my big – I don't think there's going to be many downfield throws that he's going to be able to make at the NFL level. So here's my comp. And by the way, I do love that he operated in a pro-style offense. So I see where Gruden's coming from, that he might – out of these guys, he might be the most – the guy who would be most prepared if he had to start week one to at least – you know, keep an offense moving. I don't think he's going to be able to carry an offense, but he might be able to come in there and keep an offense moving, which is why I like him as a good backup. Here's my comp from Nathan Peterman, because size two is an issue. He's a little bit undersized to me. I think he's Brian Hoyer. I think he's a good, above-average NFL backup that you'd like to have on your team. I don't think he's going to carry an offense. I think you can win with him, not because of him. And I'm not sure that's what I want with my quarterback I'm drafting even in the second round. So I have a fourth round grade on Peterman.
I think when you hear put people like a John Gruden, or I think it was Mel Kiper, I'll value Gruden's assessment because he's coaching NFL quarterbacks. That's his specialty. He's an offensive guy. And I value what Kiper does, because he, whether you believe him or not, you know, the guy's made an industry out of the draft, and he does talk to a lot of people around the league and NFL teams. He's been doing this forever. The guy's got a lot of connections, but they both call Nathan Peterman the most NFL ready. And like you said, it's for good reason. It's because he played in a pro style or a near pro style offense at Pitt. He has the most experience being under center, scanning most of the field and doing things like the calling the plays, breaking the huddle. A lot of these guys, your DeShone Watsons, your Patrick Mahomes, do not. It's, and Gruden, when he was doing his QB camp, I had to ask him about this in the conference call. He's like, we have to work on the snap We have to work on the cadence and stuff like that. And it just seems so rudimentary. Like when I was playing football, that's what you worked on. I played a little bit of quarterback. We practiced the snap a lot. These guys weren't under center in college. So many things are going to be asked to be different of them. So that's why when you hear the praise of Peterman, I think you have to take it with a grain of salt, because these other guys that may be more athletic, have stronger arms, might just be better overall football players. They're going to require time to adjust to what quarterbacks are required and asked to do at the NFL level. Because, look, offensive coordinators, will change their scheme and certain things to go to the talents of the players, but they're not going to reinstate the Oregon offense at the NFL level. We saw how it failed with Brian Kelly or Chip Kelly and things like that. It just does not work. Even Chip Kelly had to change some things when he got to this level. It's a faster game. More things are going on. So, again, you hear the praise of Peterman. I think he's a pretty good quarterback. I think I'm more high on him than you are. I think I'm not concerned about the size. I kind of like the arm strength that I saw at the Senior Bowl. But in terms of being ready, that's almost faint praise in a sense, because the rest of the guys are coming from these gimmicky offenses where they weren't even under center, and they're going to need some time to adjust to being an NFL quarterback.
Absolutely. All right. Who are some other quarterbacks you want to discuss before we get out of here?
A lot of buzz about Josh Dobbs recently, yeah, being this rocket scientist type of guy. We saw him at the Senior Bowl. I wasn't overly impressed. Maybe it was what the Browns were doing, and I think he's been compared to Dak Prescott a lot recently as a mid-round guy with a lot of upside and potential, very smart, some physical gifts. Now, he ran a lot, I believe, in college, so to me that's a bit alarming, because it doesn't work at the NFL level, let's be honest. It just does not pan out to a lot of success, but a lot of buzz about him recently.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It's again, love the intangibles. The guy's smart as hell. He wants to design airplanes. He knows stuff that most people don't. That's impressive. But I feel the same way about Dobbs that I kind of felt about Peterman. I saw Dobbs in same thing, bowl game year before with Northwestern. I'm on the sidelines. This is at the Outback Bowl. John Gruden was there with Tennessee. And I've said this before. I mean, Tennessee blew Northwestern out of the building that day, and I did not come away going, oh, Josh Dobbs is going to the NFL. I wasn't even that impressed with him in that game. And if I had to, the ironic thing here is Dobbs beat out Peterman at Tennessee, which is why Peterman had to transfer to Pitt. But I like Peterman's pro-style experience here more than Dobbs. And I also trust him to take care of the football more than Dobbs. Dobbs had 30 fumbles in college. So good running threat, but I just think the arm is too limited. A lot of comparisons to Dak Prescott. I think Dak Prescott's a better passer than Josh Dobbs. I have a fifth-round grade on him. You know, maybe a guy I'm willing to take a flyer on, get him in there as a potential backup. He's going to be a good addition to any quarterback room because how smart he is, and he's got great leadership skills. So, you know, there are things to like there. I don't see him as an NFL starter. I just don't.
Here's my final thought in the whole quarterback situation, especially pertaining to the Bears. Why is nobody, fan-wise, even some media members, willing to give Mike Glennon a shot? This is a guy that showed some potential early on in his career as a rookie starter, making the transition, again, from the college game to the NFL game, in a tough situation in Tampa Bay. Had some success, and then the situation was completely blown up on him. Lovie Smith comes in. Here comes Josh McCown. Another coaching change. Jameis Winston's the first overall pick. So things kind of blew up around Mike Glennon there. So here's a guy who, look, compared to some of these quarterbacks, you know, maybe ranked ahead of them if they were in the same draft year. I don't get why people aren't ready to give him a chance. I think the Bears are 110% going to give Mike Glennon a chance this year and beyond. Yes, they may be looking at some quarterbacks. Yes, they may love some quarterbacks. Yes, it's probably in the Bears' best interest to get a young guy behind Mike Glennon, but I don't get the complete lack of interest in what the guy can do. I think that he's your starting quarterback day one. No one drafted at number three is going to be ready to start and take him out. He's got 4 years of NFL experience, so he's already been trained to get some of those bad college tendencies out of his game. Why not give the guy a shot?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of people who really haven't seen Mike Glennon play that much because he hasn't played that much, especially in the last couple of years. And they just, you know, look at the situation from afar and go, okay, well, why would the Buccaneers have drafted Jameis Winston if they like Mike Glennon? Well, because Jameis Winston's Jameis Winston, okay? And they had a number one overall pick. There's some guys where you have to take them, right? So we went through this all last month, and I wrote the long piece on, you know, watching every. There's talent there. There's a good NFL arm. There's more talent with Mike Glennon, just physical quarterback talent, than a lot of the, I'd say most of these quarterbacks in this draft right now, including Deshaun Watson. I like Glennon's arm way more than Deshaun Watson's arm. Okay, so that's where I have a hard time justifying taking a quarterback number three when you just had Mike Glennon. Now, the way his contract is structured, it's sort of a, you know, year-by-year deal, and if you want to cut ties with him completely after this next season, you can do that. I don't think the Bears will. I think he'll probably be around for at least 2 years, but it is certainly built in a way where I understand why people are going, well, they still might draft a quarterback in the first round. Maybe, but guess what? Next year's quarterback class is going to be even better in the NFL draft. I guess it's not a for sure thing. Things tend to change. But right now on paper, it looks like it's going to be a deeper draft next year at the quarterback position. So I like the idea of adding to the defense here with a number of really good defensive players at the top available to you. Maybe addressing the quarterback spot in the second or third round. Maybe even the fourth. And then if all else fails there, Glennon's bad, whoever you drafted isn't working out, you still can fall back on a good quarterback class next year, right? So that's where this kind of, I added up that way, more so than some other people have just looked at it. It's like, oh, well, Glennon's contract structure in a way where they could still draft a guy third overall, which maybe happens, but I don't know.
I think it's important for the Bears to at least take a swing on somebody. I'm not saying number three. I agree with you. There's going to be some difference-making defensive players that could be immediate contributors on day one for a team that at least the Bears internally think can surprise some people, especially with what they put together on the defensive side of the ball. But I think they got to take a swing somewhere, whether it's the second or third round. You got to add a quarterback this year. I get what you're saying about next year, but the time is of the issue here. You got a window in John Fox that's closing. It's down to 2 years. You get Ryan Pace is 3 years. Still, things are kind of closing on them, so it's best to get somebody in there where you could take a swing on, get them into your system, get them caught up. You don't want to prolong this quarterback process. I know Mike Glennon is part of that swing. I think the Bears will rightfully give him every opportunity to succeed, but I think you have to take another swing. Get some other young guy in there that is not Connor Shaw to really bolster that quarterback's room. And you think you got to do it right now. I don't think you can wait because again, as much time as Ryan Pace may have, I think he will be able to hire his next coach. And I do think John Fox does have 2 more years here. That window is always so tight in the NFL. Get the guys in your building right now. Start developing them.
I forgot to mention this at the top of the podcast, but if you're still listening, you're in luck because we have a giveaway. Giveaways, I should say. For that we can give to some of our listeners. It's not a Bears giveaway though, but we are WGN Radio, and we have the Blackhawks on our station. And unfortunately, the Blackhawks right now are down 0-3, which I don't think any of us saw coming. But we do have some limited edition Chicago Blackhawks t-shirts that we can give away on the podcast. So hopefully, those listening, you're still Blackhawks fans, and maybe these t-shirts will bring some luck for game 4 and a tremendous comeback. I think that's going to be tough, but I guess.
But hey, the team's won 3 titles since 2010. You know, you can't win it every year. I covered that team.
Yeah, but you probably shouldn't be losing the first round either, back-to-back probably. Years. But the way the playoffs are structured, this would be a tremendous upset, I think, especially if they get swept. So we'll see. Anyway, so what we're going to do is we're going to have a trivia question, and the first 3 people who tweet me the answer, at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, the first 3 people who tweet me the answer to this question will receive a limited edition Chicago Blackhawks t-shirt. So here is the question. Before the Bears drafted Rex Grossman in the first round in 2003 and Cade McNown in the first round in 1999, who was the last quarterback that the Bears drafted in the first round? So you got to go past Rex Grossman, past Cade McNown. Who was the last one before that that the Bears drafted, the last quarterback that the Bears drafted in the first round? The first three people who tweet me that answer will receive a limited edition Chicago Blackhawks t-shirt. Any final thoughts on these quarterbacks, Adam?
I think one of these guys is really going to pan out and be like a superstar. It happens every year, like Derek Carr, second round, 36 overall pick, superstar in this league. I think one of the top 10 quarterbacks, maybe even better if he gets healthy and he's up and coming still in his third season. So someone's going to get the right guy. Will it be the Bears? I don't know, but I guarantee you it happens every year. One of these guys is going to be something, but I have no idea who it's going to be.
I'll just say this. Some of the other guys that do appear in my top 10 that we did not discuss, I won't give away the order, but Brad Kaye is in there from Miami. Davis Webb from California is in there. And my sleeper, which if you read Bears Mock Draft 2.0, he appeared in there. Alec Torgensen from Pennsylvania. Alec Torgensen. So those will all be in my top 10 quarterback rankings that come out next week, along with a ton of other draft coverage that I know you're going to have. I'm going to have it. It's going to be a loaded week of stuff. ChicagoSunTimes.com is where you can read Adam Johns. WGNRadio.com/Bears is where you can read myself. At Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E on Twitter. At Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S is where you find Adam Johns. And you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Find it on TuneIn, the WGN Radio app, and everywhere else you can listen to podcasts. We appreciate you listening. Coming up next week, a huge episode, Adam. Our annual mock draft episode.
It's going to be fun. I'm kind of disappointed I didn't get the Bears pick this year, though. Got to say.
I know. I may have rigged it away from you since you had it the last couple years.
Since I blew it the past 2 years. Yeah. Fair enough.
Eric Edholm from Yahoo Sports will join us in the mock draft, just like he did last year. And Robert Mays from The Ringer. We got a newcomer to the game. He's going to be in there, and we have all been assigned our teams. We're going to go through the first round. We've done this the last 2 years, so this will be our third annual mock draft episode. Really excited to do it. That'll be coming your way next Monday. We'll have a couple episodes for you next week, the week of the draft. We'll talk to you then.